We're just glad everybody came out tonight, today and this morning for a Bible class. We're continuing our discussion in the Gospel of John, discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. And we decided that since it's probably going to take us a little while to get through this, that we ought to give some titles to some of the lessons, because if we keep going part one, part two, we'll be up to part 80. And people's going to say, well, I can't catch up. So today's title, and I'm pretty sure it's going to, I may lose a few friends out of this one, but today's title is called non-denominational. Non-denominational. Does that mean that I don't like Southern Baptist? Absolutely not. Love my Southern Baptist brothers and sisters. Does it mean I don't like Pentecostals? No, love them. Amen. Does it mean I don't like Methodists? Some of them I don't like. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody been watching the news or know anything about what's going on in the Methodist Church? We'll talk about that maybe a little, not that much. But anyway, the sermon title is called Non-Denominational, and we're going to use for a while as our go-to verse or our circle verse, if you will. We're going to leave John 17:3. We're going to use this for a while as our circle verse, John 1:14. And why don't we just say it out loud, everybody? Let's just say it, get familiar with it, know it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, some of y'all may not realize what's been going on in our ministry through the years, but we've kind of made a decision that we're going to try to reach people that are disconnected from church. Now, having said that, we're glad that you guys are connected enough to get in your car and come and be with us, because we don't want to preach to empty chairs. We don't want to teach to empty chairs. But we've recognized that primarily my ministry is to the unchurched or the disenfranchised. Does that make sense? But that doesn't mean we're against church. See, we believe in the body of Christ, and we believe in the unity of the faith. But we are called to people that are not necessarily been brought up in the church. And so a lot of the stuff that we teach, some of y'all might think it's simplistic or it's kind of foundational, but you'd be surprised what people don't know. Amen. Can I get an amen? And what the Lord told me in my travels with Him in this marvelous journey, what He's been telling me is just tell people what you know. Just tell them what you know. Try your best not to screw it up, but just tell people what you know, because there's a lot of people that don't know a lot. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I have spent some quality time reading the Bible. I've spent some quality time reading the Bible. And so just one more time, I'll let everybody know. I asked Teresa if we had a tool belt around the house, and she said she doesn't have a tool belt, and it broke my heart. She said, all I got is my toolbox. So I was thinking about bringing the toolbox and maybe pulling some tools out and explaining to you that I really didn't know what this was. Now, I do know what she does have. I know one thing she's got. She's got a socket set. You know what a socket? She's got a socket set. And so I think the way, she says she's got two socket set. And I think the way that works is you have to pull out a certain socket for a certain situation. Don't you? You pull a socket out for a certain situation. Let me tell you what I do. I call the socket man. Or, well, I got to tell you, the longer we stay married, the less, more often than not, she'll say to me, just call somebody.
And that's all right.
And, yeah, but anyway, I said all that to tell you that I do have. And I said this last week, I'll repeat myself, everybody that God created has something on the inside of them that's unique to them. Don't you let the devil ever tell you that you are a nobody. You're a somebody. Now, whenever you teach, it's multifaceted, because to get somebody saved, you got to recognize that you're a sinner. But you got to recognize that you can't save yourself, and that compared to God, you fall short. But on the other hand, you got to recognize that God created you. And because God created you, he values you so much that He sent Jesus to rescue you. Amen. Does that make sense? Isn't that something? So you got to understand, yes, I am a dud. I am. But God loves me. And even though I'm a dud, God has put something in me that's unique to me. And one of the things that I've had some ability to do is to read things and comprehend them. And that seems to be something that everybody doesn't have. And you can tell that because politicians prey on people not knowing stuff. Because they'll pass a piece of legislation, just real quick, and they'll call it the Inflation Reduction Act, as though it really is going to reduce inflation, and it has nothing to do with reducing inflation at all. But they figure if I say it, enough people won't understand it and they'll believe it. My people, God said this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I'd say it like this. America, if they're not careful, will be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Get educated and find out when people are lying to you. This is our go-to verse for a while. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the pre-existent, eternal, everlasting creator of all things. No other institution in the world can stand up and tell you about somebody and tell you that except about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is unique. And Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person. Y'all cool? It's not a religion, it's a person. And the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Antioch was the first time that the word Christian was used to identify Christians. The word Christian was used to identify those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, because you know how I am, I've finally gotten us over to chapter 4. He's finally met the woman at the well of Samaria. And we pointed out to you that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. Remember that? We demonstrated the fact that he was fully God and fully man by the fact that he had walked 30 miles to Samaria. And because he'd walked 30 miles to Samaria, he was wearied from the journey, so he sat down. And not only was he wearied from the journey, but he was thirsty. And he asked the woman for some water, right? And so, you know, we find out that this woman has a kind of an interesting past. She's been married 5 times. The person that she's with right now is not her husband. Jesus knows that about her, having never met her. Fully God and fully man. The person that she's talking to is tired from the journey because he's cloaked in flesh just like us, but he is fully God in that he knows that she's been married 5 times and the person she's with now is not her husband. Okay? I'm just going to pick it up in verse 19. After she tells the woman this, she has enough brains and enough sense to say, sir, she calls him sir, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, right? Isn't that something? I perceive that you are a prophet. After he's told her, you know, the one you have is not your husband. You've been married 5 times. She says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Verse 20, let's get this talked about. Verse 20. So then what she does is she makes the mistake that everybody makes. She's encountered God and she wants to talk religion. She wants to find out who's right. She wants to know, do you have to get baptized in water? You know, do you have to receive communion? Do you have to go to church on Sunday? You know, which one's got it right? She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Again, has anybody done any witnessing to anybody? What you'll have to overcome a lot is their religious bias. That'll be the first thing you'll have to overcome. You know, my grandmother was this, or my grandfather was this, or this is what we were taught, or how do you believe, or you know, do you believe in immersion or sprinkling, or you know, and all that really means nothing. Now, some of the events that take place afterwards are meaningful and have significance, but they don't have anything to do with whether or not you're a child of God. Can I get an amen on that? So she's wanting to talk religion with him. Jesus doesn't want to talk religion. Here's what he says. We'll go, it's the next one on the slide, Jamin, the next one. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Next verse. Now watch this. We're going to spend a little quality time talking about this, because again, remember now, we're not just talking with you guys, and we're so appreciative of having you guys to talk to, but we're also talking to everybody that's listening by radio or internet. Talked to the mayor this week, and he said he listens to me on his way to church, so let's say hi to the mayor. That's what he told me. So remember now, we're dealing with more than just our audience. We've got other people out there. So you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. I'm going to throw a verse. You're going to have to skip down and get to this one. I'll show you something. 1 Corinthians 10:32. 1 Corinthians 10:32. And I know some of y'all have heard this before, but it'll bear repetition. There are, in our world today, only three groups of people. Okay, remember now, Jesus told the woman that salvation is of the Jews. There's only three groups of people in our world today, and remember, the sermon title is non-denominational. Give no offense either to the Jews, that's one group, or to the Greeks, and unfortunately, the New King James uses the word Greek here, but when they say Greek, they mean Gentiles. What they mean is everybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. Y'all understand that? Not just Greeks. Not just Jimmy the Greek. We had a famous Greek in Sierra Vista for a while, didn't we? This word Greek here is really Gentile. So the first group of people are Jews, Gentiles, which is anybody that's not a Jew, or, listen to this, or to the church of God. Now, that doesn't mean the organization or the denomination in Cleveland, Tennessee called Church of God, although they are a viable, real, genuine Christian denomination. Actually, I spent some time associated with that church. It was a good church. They were Pentecostal. They believed in speaking in tongues. They were a charismatic church. But when it says Church of God, it doesn't just mean the Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee. It doesn't just mean the Church of God in Christ that T.D. Jakes is a member of and has a huge church in, I believe it's Dallas, Texas, isn't it? Church of God in Christ. And there's one here in town. They call it Kojic. Doesn't just mean that. It means anybody that's a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Non-denominational. You listening to me? Now, does that mean that you have to be not, so because you got to be careful. You got to be careful you don't turn non-denominational into a denomination. What are you? We're non-denominational. We're not anything. We're non-denominational. You've turned non-denominational into a denomination. What everybody has to say about themselves is Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27. Here's what everybody's got to say. And again, I know for some people this is basic, but we're picking up people all the time that have no knowledge. And I don't want you to run into somebody, if you're out there listening and thinking that if they invite you to their church, that their church is the only church. This is what it means to be in the church of God. Follow me? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's worth saying. Say that with me. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you've been epistolated, you understand that for that to be effective in your life, that you has to become me. And so one of the things that I encourage everybody to practice is when you see a verse, and by the way, this would definitely qualify all of my Wednesday Bible students. Are we in the book of Galatians now? And have I given you some circle verses out of Galatians? Beverly, don't be, I know you're looking at me like, don't call on me. Don't call on me. this would be an excellent circle verse, and we may get to it Wednesday, right? But remember, for this to really be effective and for people to start really making the Bible personal, here's how it would work. You could easily stand in front of a mirror before you go to work, before you come to church, before you do whatever you got to do in your day and say, "For I am a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Amen. "For I am a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Look in the mirror. "For I am a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Your boss may have called you a dud. You may have had and it's rare that it would ever happen to anybody, but you may have had a fight with your spouse. Now we, you know, not in our house, we never fight. It's just always happiness and joy. But there may have been one of those rare incidences where we had a little dispute and we may have said some things that weren't kind to each other, but I can still look in the mirror and say, "Mark, you're a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Let me take that a little further. If that's what you say in the mirror and you've had a fight with your spouse, you know what the Lord's going to say to you? Go make up. That's why a lot of people stay away from him, because he doesn't play. Did you figure that out? Am I right, Chris? Welcome back. Stay with me, brother. Stay strong. Amen. All right. So let's go back, because if I don't, I'll get off of it. So go back to 1 Corinthians 10:32. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10:32, and then we can identify what this means. So there's three groups of people. The Jew, understand this, and this needs to be taught. And this is another thing that people don't understand about our world, and it's why there's so much bad doctrine in the church. Understand that after Adam and Eve committed high treason, they turned the world over to the devil, and he became the god of the world. The best way that I can explain it for people to clearly understand it is he turned over the lease that God gave to Adam to the devil. Okay? And I think people can understand about leases. If you've ever rented a house or you've been the landlord or the lessor or the lessee, you can understand that even though I may own that property, and I have some experience in this area, I have owned property, I still own some property, and even though I may own that property, if I've leased it to the lessee, I can't just barge in and take over that property, because I've made an agreement with the lessee, and the lessee has the right to do what's needed to be done with the property they've leased from me. You with me? Now, if they get completely crazy and start burning my building up, that's why God's put certain caveats in the lease, and that's why I don't think the devil will ever destroy this place. But unless they do something completely wacky, I can't just arbitrarily go in there anytime I want. For instance, right now, because of the deal we made with Desert Grace Church, they actually own this building. And so I'll just use you for an example. Francis has made a request for me to do a wedding ceremony sometime around October, and she wants to have it done here at this church. Well, we don't own the building anymore. We don't have complete authority to do whatever we want to, so I got to get permission from Desert Grace to see if we can have that wedding. Make sense? Yeah. So God turns the lease or the control of the world over to Adam, makes him the god of this world, tells him to control it and subdue it, overcome it, shows that by bringing everything to Adam, and Adam's the one that names the things that he brings to him, shows that, and then he puts him in the garden and he says, "Here's the garden, tend and keep it." Remember that? But he turns it over to the devil. The devil becomes the god of this world. And so what people have a hard time understanding is God is actually on the outside looking in. It's his earth. It's his creation. But it's not his world. And some of the songs that we sing in Christianity are absurd. Old time Christians sing that song, "This is my Father's world." No, it's not. I told you about the other one that me and Bryant don't ever want to sing, and that is, "He's got the whole world in his hand." No, he don't. So he has to get back in. And he gets back in through a man named Abraham. And so I'm not going to go through all that, but basically through Abraham, he starts the Abrahamic covenant, and the Jewish people become the servants of God. Not the sons, but the servants. And they're really the only people, listen, and this is, oh man, this makes people mad. Oh, many, many wars have been fought about this. Still fighting about it now. Iran wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Still fighting about it now, because this makes people so mad, because really, and this is what Jesus is saying. You can go back now to where we left off in John. Go back to that verse. What he's saying is that the only people that actually got introduced to the one true God were the Jews. And everybody outside of the Jewish covenant were Gentiles, and they called them something else. They called them heathen. They had another name for them too, but anyway. They didn't associate with them. They thought they were better than them, which turned out to be wrong. But they did identify with the one true God. So that's what he meant when he said, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, because it was through the Jewish people that the seed of the woman was birthed. And it was the seed of the woman that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 that would come and crush the devil. Remember that? So this made the Samaritans, the person that he was talking to, the woman that he was talking to, they were half-breed Jews. And so they, because they weren't full Jews, the Jews didn't like them. But the Samaritans didn't like the Gentiles because at least they had some Jew in them. Somebody said, oh, that don't go on today. Come on. Come on. Where you been living? What rock are you under? We started a thing here. And we allowed ourselves to, we opened the doors up here to a thing called Promise Keepers. Oh, wait a minute. Quest for Authentic Manhood. Promise Keepers was before that. We've done it all here at one time or another. And by the way, we're not doing much of any of that anymore. Somebody said, I want to start something. Good for you. Go ahead and start it. We're starting all we want. Anyway, we got associated with this thing called Quest for Authentic Manhood. And it was good. The man that led it was quality, spirit-filled, great Bible teacher. And I think we ended up graduating about, James, were you in on that? Donnie, did you come around on that? Anyway, one of the jobs the guy gave me, so of course there was a guy in charge of it. And I said, we'll open our doors up and we'll do it here. And he got all excited about it. And he said, one of the jobs I want you to have is I want you to start contacting some other ministers and seeing if you can get some of their people to come to it. And I said, I'm back in the, that's my days of, oh yes, whatever you call me to, I'll do it. And so I said, all right, I'll take that job on. And I would call people. And you know what? I actually had a couple of people, be honest with me. He said, I called one guy. I said, we're having this thing, Quest for Authentic Manhood. It teaches you how to be a good man, how to love your wife and work on your job and be responsible and be a good dad, you know, all bad things, you know, stuff. Anyway, over and over, I'd either get this answer. They'd say, well, what denomination are you? And I'd say, well, we're not really any denomination. Well, we can't come because we can only associate with our denomination. What's wrong with that thought process? What's wrong with that thought process? I want you to see this. I want you to overcome this. I had to overcome it. No, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Episcopalian. If you identify with this verse, me and you are brother and sister in Christ. By the way, if you knock on my, don't let me leave my story away. Where am I at on the story? Oh, where I'm with the Quest for, because I want to give you the other thing the guy told me. So most of them wouldn't cross over because we couldn't identify what denomination we were, which is completely, that tells you right away that they're bound up by a religious bias, and it won't allow them to be free in Christ. Because to determine whether or not you're going to heaven is whether or not you're a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus, not whether or not you're a Southern Baptist. And again, I want all my Southern Baptist people that are listening, I love you guys. Thank you guys for keeping the Roman road going. Thank you guys that you can go to a Southern Baptist church and get saved, bless God. Thank you. So I'm not against you. Thank you, Pentecostal churches that brought the Holy Spirit back into the church. Thank you for that. But that's not why you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you play your guitar and play your tambourine loud. You're going to heaven because you're a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And we wanted to get a group of people, a group of men together that believe that, that wanted to be good to their wives and good to their kids and be good on their job. But they couldn't cross over, see, because we weren't associated with them. That was one thing. Everybody see that? Everybody understand that? And there's such freedom in that. And again, somebody asked, I get asked all the time, what are we? And I'm real careful. I don't even like to use the word non-denominational because, like I said, you can turn that into a religion. We just don't believe none of that. Well, I believe a lot of all of it. Anyway, so I called another guy. This was, I think this will be fun to tell you too. I called another guy and he said, oh, he said, I've heard of you. He said, I've heard of you. You're Mark Browning, aren't you? I said, the one and only. And when he said he'd heard of me, I thought, uh-oh. He said, I've heard of you. He says, you know, he said, I'm going to tell you the real truth about it. He said, I don't want to come over there. He said, because I'm scared if I come over there, they'll start going to your church. Chris, now back then, I got a little snotty with him. Now, you know what I've told him? I don't blame you. No. I don't blame you. I don't want to lose my crew. Don't jump going over. Stay right there. My God, if you come, stay. No. But think about that. Think about what's being created in the body of Christ. The schism. Is that the right word? The schism, the division, because we don't understand the scriptures. And we don't understand that the purpose of what we're doing is to change people's hearts and lives. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to be better in society. And in the United States of America right now, we're in a desperation mode. We're in a desperation mode. And I'll fit this in here because I said I would. One of the things, I guess because I'm a preacher, I don't know for sure, but one of the things I get on my email is a thing called Ministry Watch. And they're not pro-charismatic churches, by the way, but I pick up enough information. There's a big schism going on right now in the Methodist church, big schism. And a bunch of the Methodists want to leave the United Methodist Church because the United Methodist Church wants to ordain gays and lesbians into the pulpit, and they want to welcome in the LGBTQXYRZQW community. And there's a fragment that says, no, we're not going to do that. Well, guess what? I'm on the side of the people that don't want to do that. Does it mean I don't like those people? No, it doesn't mean I don't like those people, but the Holy Scriptures teach against sexual perversion. And so at some point, you got to make a stand about something. It can't be ollie ollie income free. I ride by the local one here on my way to the golf course, and their sign it tells you that everybody's welcomed here. Well, everybody's welcome here, but we're going to tell you when we think you're doing something that violates Scripture. And we're certainly not going to ordain you. And we're also going to encourage you not, for the love of God, don't cut off any of your body parts. Stay a man if you're a man and stay a woman if you're a woman. And I've been saying this multiple times. I think we just had the conversation yesterday. I'm 63 years old. I started Life in Christ Church in 1996. I never ever thought that this would be something we'd have to stand up and tell people you're not supposed to do. Jerry, did you ever think that? Did you ever think that they would criticize us and try to alienate us and call us white supremacists because we tell people it's not right for you to cut off your body parts? Because we keep telling people over and over, the problem is not what your sex is. The problem is not that you're a man and you think you're a woman, or you're a woman and you think you're a man. The problem isn't that you think you're in love with a person of the same sex. The problem is you got something wrong with your heart. And the person that can fix your heart problem is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And I apologize, and I want to say up front that I have probably not done my best to make people aware of that. But bless God, I'm going to keep trying. I'm not going to give up. Just because I may not have done it as well as I could have, I'm going to keep telling people that Jesus Christ wants to change you. He wants to give you a brand new heart. He wants to give you a brand new nature. You're a son of God through faith in Jesus. But it doesn't mean that you're going to get off free and easy and that life will be easy. It means you'll have to fight the good fight of faith, and you'll have to stand against the rotten, stinking devil. And that might have been something I didn't say enough. Can I get an amen, Coco? Are you glad you came down from Prescott this morning? Amen. Thank you. I'm trying to be as honest as I can. So this is an amazing passage of Scripture. We worship what we do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. Why is salvation of the Jew? Because Jesus came through the Jewish people. And he had to come through the Jewish people. He had to be offered to the Jew first because God promised him to Abraham. They reject him, and through their rejection, all the Gentiles who call upon his name will be saved. God says in his word that sooner or later there's going to be a great revival among the Jewish people, and we're all going to come to the unity of the faith. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But I'll tell you who the world hates, and they'll keep hating us. You might as well get over it. You might as well buck up. You might as well get tough about it. They're never going to love us because we identify Jesus Christ as the only answer. And that's always going to bring persecution. But the hour is coming. But the hour is coming. Now say this, because this is important. But the hour is coming, and now is. Say that. This is not something in the future. God, see, one of the things about being a minister and doing this for a long time is you have a lot of stories and you meet a lot of people. And sometimes these stories come into my head. I need to tell this. We had a guy that was coming here for a while, and man, he thought I was the best thing since sliced bread. He loved me. We even played golf together. But he got it in his head that the kingdom of God wasn't operating yet in the earth, that God's kingdom wasn't operating yet. And on some level, I understood what he meant. On some level, I understood that he meant that the world and all the political systems and all the religions aren't under the dominion and the domain of Jesus. Could you agree with that? If they were, would we have to worry about the stuff we worry about? Would we have to worry about war and killing and an abortion and sexual perversion? If Jesus was in charge, would we have to worry about it? So on that level, I absolutely agree. The totality of God's kingdom is not here yet. But he got so twisted in it that he told me, and this is where we broke it off. We got together. He told me, he said, and there's no sense. He said, quit giving altar calls. He said, salvation's not ready. It's not, you can't get anybody saved yet. I said, what? You can't get anybody saved yet? You got to get rid of the New Testament. Most of the scriptures in the Bible. But he'd got it in his head that, you know, giving altar calls and getting people saved, that it wasn't time because the kingdom hadn't come. Well, the full kingdom hadn't come, but getting people born into the kingdom is now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Now are you children of God. It does not yet appear what you shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. And you know that rascal, I see him sometimes on the golf course, and he won't speak to me. Again, schism, division. And I reach out to him. Hey, how you doing? How's your golf game? You know what I said one time? I'm still giving altar calls. Leon, I have to just every now and then, I still have to just tell him, I'm still giving altar calls. But notice, see, it's just because people I don't understand. That's why I'm here. I'm here to give you what I can understand, and I'm telling you. But the hour is coming and now is. When the true worshipers, the hour is coming and now is. Say it, the Lord wants us to say it again. Now is. Now is. When do you witness to somebody? Now. When do you get people to go to leave the kingdom of darkness? Now. When can you become a child of God? Now. When are you saved? Now. When do you receive eternal life? Now. When is faith? Now. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Verse 24, here it is. I want it under the old King James. Now, we try to, and I think this is good. I got my old great friends back here with me, and there's some things that I've said that y'all haven't maybe heard in a while. We don't promote generally, and Brian understands and knows, we don't generally promote the old King James Version of the Bible. Most of y'all know I'm a great promoter of Andrew Womack's ministry, and I believe that he sees the Bible almost better than me, but we're in great synergy. But the one thing I don't like is that he teaches out of the old King James Version of the Bible. Not that I think the old King James Version of the Bible is not inspired, but it was written in the 1600s. And we don't do thous and thuses and furthermoreth. And the most famous verse of all is James 1, where he tells them that they're caught up in the superfluity of naughtiness. The superfluity of naughtiness. I told Teresa, I said, I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure I did it. Can I get an amen? But anyway, so we don't promote it. And so in about 1982 or 83, some people at Thomas Nelson Publishing came up with what's called the New King James, and it took all the thous and thuses out of it. In the process of retranslating it, they made some decisions about certain, what's the articles? Is the an article? Is an article? Is of an article or preposition? There are a few things that they leave out or they put in the New King James. And so I hang on to the old King James for a couple of things. I don't have time. We talked about it in Galatians where it actually talks about having the faith of Jesus, not the faith in Jesus. That of and in is huge, right, in that case. But this is one of those verses where I like the King James Version better, because it adds this word. This is what's so good. God is a spirit. New King James, some of the other translations say God is spirit, to imply that he's spirit. No, he's a unique individual spirit. God is a spirit. Say that, everybody. God is a spirit. And that's one of the reasons why we've had such trouble connecting to him, because he's not flesh. He's not in the natural. He's in the spirit, and he is a spirit. And what he wants to do is connect to your spirit, and your spirit is what you can't see. It's on the inside, and it starts from the outside in. Spirit, soul, body. God wants to connect with your spirit, and Jesus is telling this woman, it don't make any difference whether you're a Jew. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Greek. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Seventh-day Adventist. It doesn't make any difference what church you're attending, even though we're for church attendance. Everybody clear on that? What matters is, has the Spirit of God recreated your spirit? Yeah. Have you come in contact with God's spirit to spirit? And that's what makes you a child of God. And the way you become a child of God, spirit to spirit, is through faith in His Son. Whew. Praise God. I need to get paid extra. Huh? I mean, that's pretty darn good right there, right? And that's as plain as I know how to tell it to people. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must, everybody say must. Notice it doesn't say, and they that worship Him must get baptized in water. Doesn't say that. Do we believe in water baptism? Yes, after you're saved, not before you're saved, but we believe in it, but it doesn't have anything to do with whether your spirit's been born again. And they that worship Him must pay 10% of your income. Do we want people to pay 10% of their income to this ministry? Only if you want to. We don't want to force you to. Are you listening to me? And they that worship Him must receive communion at least twice a month. and non-alcoholic grape juice. See what I'm doing? I'm trying to be humorous, but some of those things, are they sacred to us? Do they mean something to us? Should it be an important thing to receive the communion and understand what you're doing? But does it mean you're going to heaven because you've received communion? No, we've gave communion to a lot of lost people here. Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what he told Nicodemus the chapter prior to that. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So bear with me a minute. Let me talk to some people by the Spirit of God. Some of y'all are listening to me today, and your brain's buzzing, and you've heard me, and you've received it, and I appreciate that. So here's the thing we got to say to you. Just because you've been going to church, or just because you've been living a good moral life, and by the way, thank God for living a good moral life. We need morality. We appreciate morality. But what we're saying to you is that doesn't really make you a child of God until you connect with God through his son Jesus and he makes your spirit brand new. Amen. That's what I want you to hear by radio and internet, okay? And we're going to give you that opportunity here in a few minutes to do that. And then that's when all the things that we've been talking about may kick in. You may want to show as an act of faith that you want to get baptized in water. And we believe in taking you down to our swimming pool and sticking your head down there till you can't hardly breathe. And then after we get through baptizing you, we believe in having Popeye's fried chicken afterward. My God, we're not going to give everything up religiously. Can I get an amen? What's that Mexican stuff you make? Yeah, shredded meat with the taco beans and all that. We're going to have, but getting dunked down in that water without first having your spirit recreated by God's spirit doesn't mean a thing in the world. So I want to lay you down there when knowing you're a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then I want to offer you communion. Then I want to offer you grape juice. I'm not even opposed if they give you the real stuff. We have to limit how much Donnie takes, but we... Jerry, I'm sorry. Amen. Does that make sense? So let's close over in Ephesians. I can't make it any plainer, and I want to leave enough time to offer salvation to everybody listening by radio or internet. All right, Jamie, these are all up there ready to go. Ephesians chapter 4. Watch this word, and I'll have y'all say it with me. There is, and I'll point at it, there is one body, and there is one body, and how did you become one body? Through faith in Jesus Christ, not by some religious act you performed. Everybody cool? And so we ought to be unified. If you go door to door, real quick, I'm gonna read this and we're going to stop, and I'll just pick it up, and we're going to almost be done with John chapter 4 by Christmas. Okay? Listen, I'm gonna read this, and I want to tell one story, and then I'm going to offer salvation. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's not talking about the water baptism. That means you're baptized into God through Jesus. Verse 6. One God. Listen to this. This is so cool. One God and Father of all. Listen to this. Who is above all. And through all, and in you all. Say that with me out loud. Pray. By the way, is this another good one to put in the mirror? Say in the mirror, right? One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Okay, I'm going to stop and we're going to give an altar call for everybody on the radio and internet. Have you ever had anybody knock on your door doing door-to-door evangelism? Now, some of the people that knock on your door are not Christians. They represent a cult. How do I know something's a cult? Anybody that denies the deity of Jesus Christ is a cult. 1 John, anybody that denies he came in the flesh, anybody that denies he's God. Anybody that says, when you say to them, I'm a believer in Jesus, and they say to you, that's not enough, close the door. I have scripture verse that says it. Don't open the door and don't feed them. send them on the way. I can tell you, I had a lady come to my door. God bless her heart. I'm telling you, she regretted knocking on my door so bad. By the time she left, she was a 70-some-year-old Jehovah's Witness, and by the time she left, she was cussing at me. I had her cussing. I gave her a big hug. Here's my thing. If I go door to door, and I knock on Dewey's door, and I say, Dewey, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. And Dewey says to me, don't worry about it. I received Jesus, blank, 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 and I'm a child of God through my faith in Jesus. What's my appropriate response after that? I'm shaking your hand, brother. Thank you. Have a good day. You know, it might be appropriate to say, hey, Dewey, we're going on down the road. You want to come with us? That'd be all right. Oh, God, no. There's a guy at the golf course that does personal evangelism, and he keeps asking me to go with him. I'm like, not while I'm golfing, my God. That's easy to identify. Once he gives me that answer, I've met a Christian. I don't care what church he's going to, and if I'm knocking on his door to try to get him to come to my church, I'm wrong anyway. I'm there to get people acquainted with Jesus. Let God tell them where to go. Let God lead them and guide them and let them find a place where they're able to fit in and function. Because there is a place, and it's necessary for us to have a place to fellowship with believers. And that's why I'm all for this church that bought our building. I'm all for them. These dudes have got it going. James was telling me they got something going every week. Breakfast with the men, Bible prayer 3 days a week. Man, we tried to have a prayer once here, and my gosh, they said, prayer? What do you mean prayer? What time's breakfast? So, but anyway, you see that? That's how you can identify. Here's what I want to say to you. Just evaluate your own self. That's how you can identify if maybe you've gotten a little religion in your system. If somebody tells you they love the Lord and they believe in Him and you want to try to dig a little further with them because you want to get your system into them, just let it be. Let it be. Now, if they're not going to church, if they've gotten away from God and they're not reading their Bible and they say that to you, then certainly say, hey, man, we have a Bible study. We're on the radio on Sunday morning. We have Wednesday at the house. You know, but basically, bottom line, if you're trying to dig somebody deeper when they tell you they love Jesus, go to the next house. And talk to that neighbor of mine that never comes outside. I'm concerned about anybody that you never see. I mean, at least come out and take your can out. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all. Thank you for another opportunity to teach the word this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's say this to everybody. If you're listening by radio or internet, I really know in my heart, I know the Holy Spirit's already shown me this. I know that I've reached a couple of you today by what we've said. And so you just got to do your part. You got to receive Jesus. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them God gives the right to become a child of God through faith in Jesus. So just say this simple prayer with me, but you got to say this simple prayer because you mean it from your heart. So say it with me. Say, Dear God,
I've heard
about Jesus, and I want to receive Him.
I believe
that He is the Son of God.
I believe
that He is
the Word
made flesh.
He dwelt among us.
And He died for me.
And He rose from the dead
for my salvation.
So I confess,
Jesus,
you
are
Lord.
Amen. We just stop a minute because we want you to get that settled into your heart and mind. You know, you might not hear thunder and you know, it might not be some great supernatural thing. It might be. You might be sitting there having your coffee and you're knocked over right now. That may be happening. But if you'll check the inside of you, if you really prayed that prayer in a minute, there's been something happened to you on the inside. Your spirit has made contact and connected to God's spirit. And you're a child of God. Oh, and the rotten, stinking devil doesn't have anything. He don't own you anymore. He can't control you anymore. And the God in you is greater than the devil that's in the world. Man, my recommendation is to get your hands on a Bible and read the Gospel of John, and then get in a fellowship somewhere where they're teaching the Bible and showing you who you are and what you have. Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. And we pray this in the glorious and holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I got to be honest with y'all. That went way too fast.